It was me and Brandon. Matter of fact, here's what happened. What had happened was, that's Bethany's favorite way to say it. What had happened was, I had this dream last night. What had happened was, I was at the doctor's office and Brandon drove up in his Mustang like he was being chased by a Dodge Charger. Now, hold on. So Brandon goes into the doctor in a state of high anxiety. He says, Doctor, you got to help me. I'm dying. And doctor said, what is it? He said, everywhere I touch, it hurts. I touch my head and it hurts. I touch my leg and it hurts. I touch my stomach and it hurts. I touch my chest and it hurts. Help me, doctor. Everything I touch hurts. I'm dying. And doctor gave him a complete examination of Brandon. He said, I got some good news and bad news for you. The good news is you're not dying. The bad news is you got a broken finger. All right. Get your Bibles out. This was going to be the introduction to the sermon for today, but it wound up being a series, because every time I start doing introductions, it winds up being more than just an intro. It's been rough because, let's see, we lost Jeannie. And just this week I preached, y'all remember Danny. Danny Williams was the guy that got us going to Pitt Detention Center. He came early on and preached here on a Sunday night. Matter of fact, probably more than one Sunday night. The guy was a great guy. And he went home to be with the Lord. And I preached his funeral yesterday. And just before Jeannie's funeral, remember Joe? Joe Hartman, he's the guy that sold us the other sound system. And he did a lot of help. And bless his heart, he got COVID pneumonia. And he wound up going to be with the Lord. So that was three very, very, very close friends that I had lost in just a matter of weeks, then preached their funeral. But I did say, thank you, God, that I had a chance to speak on their behalf as they were being laid to rest. And plus all these other people that we have dying and all this sickness around us. And so there's been a lot. I mean, a lot. And if you're not careful, you know, I was in B5 one day, not long ago, I go on Mondays, I went to B5, and the guy that's in charge of B5, he is a secular counselor. And so as we were talking back and forth, and I told him, let me see here, I got cut off. Hold on, we got it going on, just been cut off. We'll get her in a minute. Let's see here. Let's see if we can get her up here. There we are. There it is. Okay. So I was helping some people in B5 who were going through deaths. And I started telling them about Joe, and I told them about Jeannie. And at this time, Danny had not died yet. Plus, other people have been helping through some grieving cycles. And this counselor, who is a secular counselor, he does not involve God in his counseling whatsoever. He told me that was what my job was, that he handles the other stuff, you know, the physical drug-related stuff. He's in charge of the program. I handle the spiritual aspect of it. And he set me down and just blew me away because he looked at me and he said this question that just blew me. I'm not kidding. It just blew me away. And that is, what are you doing for you? He said, you're helping all these people. There's 20, 30 people, you know, and all these deaths and these good friends are dying. And what are you doing for you? And it just kind of blew me away because I was not expecting that to even be asked. And so I looked at him and I said, I trust that my God is bigger than every problem. I trust that my God is bigger than any heartache. And have you ever heard about riding in God's pocket? And he said, no. And so I explained to him about riding in God's pocket. And I said, it seems like the deeper the hurt, the greater the comfort. And so if you'll trust, you can know that God's got this. And of course, he was wearing a God's got this, and I was wearing the God's got this. I said, God's got this. And so I know a lot of us have experienced a lot of things lately, especially with COVID. And the man, it just gets crazier and crazier. Every time I think it can't get any crazier, it gets crazier. Ukraine is being flattened. And if you look at pictures, they are literally being flattened. And not only are they being flattened, because it seems like, and I'm not doing a political thing here, it's not politics, I'm just telling you what happened. It looks like Putin thought he could go in and take it without destroying much, that people would give up. They didn't. They fought, and really fought. And so he started bombing, and they wouldn't give up, so they bombed more, and they wouldn't give up. So he started sending other kind of missiles in. Now his Navy's on the outside taking care of business, too, and they just won't give up. But now the pictures are showing all these children that are dead and showing these buildings that have been flattened. And see all these people, and it just breaks my heart every time I see it. And so as I was looking, actually the second part of this message is very, very, very positive. But as I began to talk about spiritual attitudes, one word came to me, just one. Absolutely just one word. Because of the counseling and because of Pit Attention and because of other people, you know, and Danny, yeah, his family yesterday, ministering to his family, and one of his sisters, you know, was sick, and so ministering to her because of her sickness and because of the loss of her brother, all this stuff going on. And so I keep saying, God, help me to keep a positive spiritual attitude. Now around here in regular psychology is PMA, positive mental attitude. But you can have a positive mental attitude and still have a very bad spiritual response. So if you want to really get it going, you have to have a positive spiritual attitude. So I like to say, somebody says, you got a PMA. And I go, no, I got a PSA. And they go, okay, what's a PSA? A public service announcement? And no, I have a positive spiritual attitude. Get your Bibles out. Psalm 61. Stand for the reading of the word. I hope this really ministers to you today. This is one of the things I stand on, one of the things I hold on to. And like yesterday, honestly, I'm sitting there thinking, here's one of my dearest friends, you know, and just still grieving Jeannie, and now I got this guy and Joe, you know, from Joe to Jeannie and then to Danny. And I was thinking, man, you know, Lord, sometimes this stuff's got to stop. You know, it's just got to stop. You know, God just told me, just remember this. In all of this, I've never stopped helping you. My Holy Spirit has never left you. My word has always comforted you. You just hang on and let me use you. Amen. That's how we should all feel. Amen. And all is crazy. And I do mean crazy out there. Okay? So Psalm 61, stand for the reading of the word. It's just one verse, and we're going to go to it for a while pretty often today. Let's just go verse 1 and 2. Psalm 61, hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. In other words, God, I need you not only just to hear it, I need you to get in the middle of it. Okay, I don't want God just to hear my prayer. I want God to get in the middle of my prayer. How about y'all? Don't need God just to hear my prayer. I need God to get in the middle of my prayer. Amen? The things that are going on around us, we cannot, listen, we have got to stand in this last day. And with all the stuff going on around us, you've got not just to pray, but you got to let God get in the middle of your prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. This means when everything in my life has been torn all to pieces. When it seems like everything I was standing on and believing in has been ripped out from under me, from the end of the earth, I will cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Stretch forth your hands this way. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We know, God, that you are in total, absolute, positive control. We know, God, there's nothing without, there's nothing within that you are not seeing, hearing, and able to do something about. Lord, you know, God, all these families that have lost people lately, you know, Ukraine and all the things that's happening over there, And you know all this stuff that's just is happening around us. The gas prices and all these things and the food, how crazy the prices of food have gotten. And Lord, I ask you right now, Lord, to touch us and to help us in the middle of all this. And we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory because we ask it in your Son's name. And the church said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise and say, look at somebody and say, if you're not here after what I'm here after, you'll be here after I'm gone. Say it. Somebody said it. Other people just pointed to what he said. Amen. So let's just talk a little bit, okay? The byword of this day is overwhelmed. I watch it. No matter where I go, it's just, I hear overwhelmed. Yesterday, I had to go to Williamston to do a funeral at 1 o'clock. Well, I get a call on Friday night, and this call is actually a text. It says, will you please call us? It's one of the funeral homes. And they said, I called them, and they said, well, I know this is short notice, which that means, okay, somebody's died and they don't have a preacher. And usually I say yes when I can, but they said, can you do a funeral for us tomorrow? And I said, well, if it's in Williamston and it's before 1 o'clock, I can do a drive-by. And they said, no, it's not in Williamston and it's not before 1 o'clock. I said, I'm sorry, man, I can't do it. And then I get there, and as we get there in time and we start ministering to the family and I start seeing and feeling the pain that these people are experiencing, and all I could see in the whole family was that one word, overwhelmed. When you go to the grocery store and you see people when they're going through and you see them as they start looking at the prices and they go, whoa! There's a lot of anger, but although the anger, let me tell you something, I don't want to get in a bunch of counseling, but anger is a secondary emotion, which means it's a response to something you're feeling already. So anger is not the major emotion. The major emotion is overwhelmed. Most people, with all the things that's happening around them, that word overwhelmed literally means languish. It means to faint, to feel feeble, to hide yourself, to be overwhelmed, to swoon. Now, did you know that although overwhelmed is a byproduct or a byword of this day, Jesus already knew this. He already knew it because he said, watch this. He said, men swooning away, this is the Amplified Version, Luke 21:26, men swooning away are overwhelmed or expiring, overwhelmed with fear and dread and apprehension and expectation of things that are coming on the world, for the very powers of the heaven shall be shaken and caused to totter. That is a very, very real verse for the people in the Ukraine right now. Because their heavens have been shaken. And they have been tottered. It's tottered and torn. Or tattered and torn. You know, the message says, in an uproar and everyone all over the world in a panic, the wind knocked out of them by the threat of doom, the powers that be quaking. Okay, so that's another word for overwhelmed, is literally having the wind knocked out of you. Now, you ain't got to raise your hand. You don't. But I want you to think about it in your own life. Is there something in your life that's knocked the wind out of you? Is there something in your life that's caused you want to just hide, cover up, just get out of the way? Has it caused you to be faint? Has it caused you just to want to just, God, please just take me? You know, has anything like this is happening in your life now? So remember, y'all say overwhelmed. All right, now let's go to this verse here. Which they actually use the word overwhelmed. We're going to just stop. Did y'all say let down the plow, Pastor? All right. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Now, let's just break this down a little bit. Ready? Watch this. Heart. What's heart? Heart is more than just that pumper in the middle of your chest. That word heart is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Now think about it. My mind, how I'm thinking. My will is what keeps me going. My emotions is what's driving all of this. So when we see things happening around us, people dying, you know, I was told, I was riding down the road Monday, I think it was Monday morning, and I left my phone in the house, so I went and picked up my phone. I was on the way to Pitt Detention Center, and I saw where Danny had called me. So I just picked it right up, and I called back to see what Danny wanted. And a woman answered the phone. And I said, is this Danny Williams' number? And she said, yes. And I said, well, who's this? She said, this is his sister. She said, I was calling you to tell you that Danny passed away yesterday. And I said, I'm so sorry. And she said, Danny specifically said he wanted you to handle this. And I said, you got it. There's nothing I wouldn't do for my buddy. You know, but as I started telling people that knew Danny, I could feel the anguish or the emotions as people were thinking. And his sister told me, said he had had congestive heart failure since December. And he got tired of going to the hospital and getting drained down, going to the hospital and getting drained down. So he finally just said, look, let me go home so I can go home. Wow. So he went home, and a week later he went home. But of course, he had a good sense of humor, because his girlfriend said, the last thing he said to her the night he died, he said he was sitting up in his chair and he leaned over and put his head on her leg and he went. And she reached down to hear what he had to say, and he said, if that hospice lady don't soon shut up, I'm going to need another aspirin. I said, you go, son. Look, mind. Our thinking, no matter what we think, if our will's not in it, have you ever said, I know what to do, but my will is not there to do it? Or, I want to do it, and I'm trying to have the will, but my emotions have me so broke up, I cannot do it. So this is what he's talking about. When you're so broke up, when you're so in distress that you can't, you know what to do, but you just can't make yourself do it. So there's heart. When my heart is overwhelmed, again, it means to faint, to swoon. It means to have the wind knocked out of you. It says, lead me. Now remember, he said, attend to my prayer, meaning I don't just want you to hear it, God. I need you in the middle of it. I need you right there in the middle of my prayer. I need you doing something now. So watch. That word lead means more than just to get in front and take or show you how to get there. It means literally not only to take you there, but if it need be, transport, he'll pick you up and take you there. So he said, lead me to that rock, that solid refuge that is higher than I. That word higher means to rise above. So no matter what's going on around you, God can help you raise above that. So now we're getting ready to switch into what's getting ready to happen next week, but we're going to do it in a different way. Get your Bible out again. Turn to Joshua. Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Got your Bible? Say amen. You don't say on me? God's got this. You ready? Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, he knew that. He knew that. So why is now God telling him again, Moses, my servant, is dead? Because he knew because of his death, he wouldn't get up. He was overwhelmed. And so it said, now therefore rise, go over this Jordan, thou and all these people, into the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Now watch this. If ever a person... Well, look at this. Sometimes we get overwhelmed because we forget how big God is. Amen? We forget how big he is. So watch. If anybody was overwhelmed, it was Joshua. Why? Because he was called to take Moses' place. Man, let me ask you a question. Would you want to take Moses' place? I promise you, I would not want to take Moses' place. Moses was a bad dude. He had the greatest of education of all. He had the education of Egypt. He had the education of the wilderness. He had all kinds of stuff. He had a shepherd's heart, a king's heart. He was just awesome, bad to the bone. And now he's dead. And Joshua, he ministered to Moses. Now he's down because Moses is dead, and he's staying down. Means he's in mourning. He's down. I look at people nowadays, and I see a lot of people that are down. They see what's going on around us, and they're down. They've lost their enthusiasm. They've lost their thrill. They've lost their thrill for life. They just seem to want to just literally lay down. It's not a good place to be, but it is happening all around us. The Bible said, men's hearts failing them for fear as they see the stuff that's going on around us. The very heavens will be shaken. And it's amazing because that's what's happening around us. There's not a household in this world that is not being touched by what's going on. So he had to take Moses' place, big shoes to fill. But not only did he have big shoes to fill, he's supposed to take the land. So now he's got a big job to complete. Not only is he got to step into Moses' place, but now he's going to have to go into the promised land and take these cities full of giants. Again, I promise you, if anybody could feel overwhelmed, it would have to be Joshua. Both of these things seemed impossible, and they were definitely too big without God. I want you just to stop for a minute and just look within. Just stop. Don't look around. Just look within. I want you to think about the things you're going through now. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's in your family. Maybe it's in your community. Maybe it's in your home. Maybe it's in wherever, the church. You see the responsibility. It's not something you asked for. It may even come as a surprise, but it did not come as a surprise to God, because God was training you every step of the way. Now, let's go a little bit further here. Let's see what's going on with Joshua. See, it's during our darkest moments, we must focus to see the light. Just remember this. I tell people this all the time. No matter how dark the area is, the smallest of lights can shine in the darkest of moments. If all you guys are little light, let it shine. Because in the dark around here, you're going to shine and going to stick out around this area, in these areas with the world going crazy. So watch. Being overwhelmed happens in many ways. Get ready. Here's where some of y'all might be at right now. When you focus on the past. Listen to me. If I don't focus on the past, but if all you say is shoulda, coulda, woulda, shoulda, coulda, woulda, I wish I shoulda, coulda, woulda, shoulda, coulda, woulda, you're focusing on the past. That's all your conversations is shoulda, coulda, woulda, shoulda, coulda, woulda. Step back and think about it, because honestly, the past is all over you. Sometimes a reminder of a difficult past overwhelms our emotions. You know, you can't change your past, but you can change how you respond to it. So watch this. Watch, here it was. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now get up. I'll let it sit for a minute. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now get up! There's been many a time I had to tell myself that. We moved to Benson. My mama was sick, but we didn't know how sick. We moved to Benson. And after we're there, and I'm an hour and a half plus from home, they tell me, we find out just how sick Mama is. The very first operation, she had 9 blockages in her heart. 9. They said if she made it through this surgery, it was going to be extensive to get it, maybe be extensive to get her back up. I remember going into church and locking the door at night. All the little streetlights were on. DC and Daniel and their mother were in the parsonage. And I walked in. I'll be honest with you. I walked in and I said, God, you knew she was going to be sick like this and she was going to need our attention. Why did you let me go all the way? From home to Benson. And I know y'all are too holy for this. And I said, God, I'm very angry. Very angry. I said, I honestly feel like Jeremiah where he says, you have deceived me. I thought things were going to be different, but these things are terrible and you have deceived me, God. And me and God had a little discussion for about an hour. And here's what God told me. Believe it or not, I'm not kidding. I said, God, you got to speak to me because I'm really upset right now. I'm angry. Please tell me something to make me feel a little better about this because you have fooled me. You've got me an hour and a half away from my mama. She needs me right now. And it was almost like it was an audible voice. It said, let the dead bury the dead. And I shook my head and I walked around. I said, that can't be God. And I walked around again and again, let the dead bury the dead. So I went and I searched this. And of course, when he told the young guy, let the dead bury the dead, he said, let me go bury my father first and then I'll go to work for you, God. I'll work for you after I bury my father. In the Greek was his father weren't even dead. His father was dying. And God said, I got this. You just do what I called you to do. Over the next couple of years, Mama spent the majority of her life, 70-80% of her life, in Greenville Hospital. I was very close to Greenville Hospital, a whole lot closer than I was to Chalkawin. As a matter of fact, I went around there, if not every day, every other day, every morning, and I would feed Mama lunch. And I thought about that thing. Here I was all worried about all this stuff going on, and instead, I was close to her and closer than I would have been even if I'd been in Chalkawinity. And I said, God, I know you got this. I got to trust you. I have to trust you. What God was actually telling me in that church that night while I was angry, I'm not kidding, I was mad. I mean mad, bulldog mad. I was ready to pack up and go back to Chalkawinity. I was so mad. And literally what God was saying was, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise. Get up! Get up! And when I got up, wow, did God do something powerful. And I got a chance to see Mama just about every day. Those 2 years she was in the hospital. Wow. It's amazing when you let God take care of business. So look, when you focus on the past. Number two, when you don't feel prepared. He said, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all these people. Me? Me, God? Moses is the one that's got the degrees. Moses is the one that's been trained in mathematics and in leadership. Moses is the one that helped build pyramids. Moses is the one that has led the people into the wilderness. Moses is that man. Moses went up on the mountain and got the 10 commandments. God, are you sure you picked the right man? I How do you know if you don't feel prepared? How what's a good way? I'm going to tell you a good way. If you're seeing shoulda, coulda, woulda, shoulda, coulda, woulda, shoulda, coulda, woulda, you're living in the past. But if you're saying, not me. No, Lord, not me. There's no way. There's no way. I can't do it. Obviously, you feel unprepared for the task that is set before you. And then finally, when you feel like things are not finally, but moving on, when you feel like things are out of control, the future is unknown, change is scary, you feel out of control, things are out of focus. He says, I want you to go over this Jordan and all these people, and I want you to take the land. All these people, Lord, have you noticed these people? Have you noticed them backbiters and them arguers and how they got to the Red Sea and they were talking about, we want to go back, we'd rather be eating flesh pots out of it. Have you noticed these heathens you sent with me? And now I got to go across the river, and the river's in the way. I got to go across the river, and I got to fight this place with all this stuff. I don't even know what's over there yet. I'm going to send some spies over. I don't even know what we got to do over there. As a dad, as a young dad, I can promise you, I did not feel prepared. DC fixed that quick. As a young dad, I did feel like everything was out of control. But by the time Daniel come along, I like to say it was a piece of cake. No, the cake was still sliding off the plate, but at least it was a piece of cake. And finally, when you have no explanation. Sometimes there's no warning, there's no explanation, and it just leads to overwhelm. I'm riding down in a car on Monday getting ready to go minister to those heroin addicts. I'm getting ready to go talk to them. And I get a phone call, and I think it's Danny, and I call it back, and it's not Danny, it's his sister. And she tells me that he died, but he wants me to do his service. And I'm just going, and I get in my car sometimes, or I get here when I come in here during the week, and I go in, I'm expecting Jeannie to be opening up the door for me, and she's not there. Or I expect her to come in and go, I hope you don't think I'm bugging you. And I go, you are, but it's okay. But she goes, I know I'm driving you crazy. I said, you are, but it's okay. Keep on. Don't stop. And I'm like hearing that, not seeing that. So I'm dealing with that. And Joe would call me and we would talk and all this. So Joe and there's Jeannie and then Danny. And not only that, but there's all this other stuff that's going on. And you see the stuff in the world, you know, and all this stuff we see going on. There's no explanation. It just hit like that. Everything just hit. So look, when this stuff happens to you, it overwhelms you. It overwhelms your belief. It overwhelms you. It leaves you paralyzed. And so it's so overwhelmed. So what? Watch this. And when you get overwhelmed, here's the danger, okay? Now, I'm going to kind of go back in what I was already in. So although it looks like I'm backtracking, I'm not. I'm just going to clarify it even more, okay? Dangers of being overwhelmed. There's a danger of looking back. Because watch this. Again, I just want to clarify this. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over Jordan, you and all your people, to the land. You know how many times, look, Moses is mentioned 6 times in verses 1-9. He's mentioned 57 times in the rest of the book. I don't know about you, but I think I could do a better job, God, if you'd quit reminding me of what happened. God, I could do a whole lot better if you would just kind of take that away from me. But He's not going to take it away. He's going to want you to work through it. Because if He takes it away, then you're going to be soft and you can't handle what's coming your way. What He does is He lets you go through it. And when you go through the pain and learn how to deal with it, then you can help somebody else. So again, here it is. Look. It's very easy to look at what God has done in the past or what's going on and think, I can't move forward. Then here's the big danger. This probably right here is probably the biggest one that I see all the time. And that is the danger of standing still. He said, every place that put your soul, I've given it. Soul your foot, I've given it to you. He may have given it to you, but without you going forward, you're not going to get it. We get apprehensive. We get overwhelmed. The wind gets knocked out of us, and we're scared to move forward. We're thinking that if every time I move forward, I get slapped. I'm going to quit going forward. Every time I try to make it happen, every time I think God's want to, every time I start to take two steps forward, I take four back. I'm thinking about making another bracelet. Another bracelet that says Team Bethany on one side, and on the other side, there's a third saying that she said all the time. And that was, she said, baby steps, Dad, baby steps. Y'all remember hearing her? She said, baby steps, baby steps. In other words, you ain't got to try to eat the whole elephant at one time. I can hear it just as clear as a bell. I've heard it so much in the last couple of weeks with all this stuff going on. I keep hearing it. I hear Bethany's voice. And it's saying, baby steps, Dad, baby steps, Dad, baby steps, Dad. In other words, keep moving forward. Even if it's just a little bit, keep moving forward, because there's a danger of standing still. And when you stand still, your faith will collapse. Your faith has to have wind like a sail. And if you stay still, your faith will collapse. And you'll find yourself in more danger than you've ever been. So there's a danger of looking back, a danger of standing still. I like what old Zig said. Getting knocked down in life is a given. Getting up and moving forward is a choice. You're going to get knocked down, every last one of us. If I was to say in here, somebody raise their hand, they've never been knocked down. If you raised your hand, I'm thinking you must not have got knocked down hard enough, because you would remember. Amen? So getting knocked down is a given. But when you decide to get back up, wow. So there's another. Here goes another set of dangers, okay? Ready? This one's tough. I'm getting ready to end, and somebody say amen. There's the danger of giving up. He says, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. You know, we hear this stuff in church and we go, yeah, glory! And then we go outside and stand still. We go outside and give up. Come back in Sunday and God's got it. Oh yeah, glory! And go back outside and go, I shoulda, coulda, woulda, shoulda, coulda, woulda. There's no way. You see, some may have given up, seems that they may have given up, but God was reassuring them. He was ready to give up. He was ready just to throw it in. God, this is too much. Moses is dead. And God knew that there was a danger of him giving up. You got to get up. You got to get up. You got to get the wind back in your sail. One thing I've taught my boys over the years from the time they were a little itty bitty thing was, boys, you better get back up. Get back up. Get back up. It stuck good with Bethany, too, because she would get back up. You see, God knew that if he didn't get up, he was going to give up. And that's a prophetic word for some of you in here right now. If you don't get up, you're going to find yourself giving up. One more time. If you don't learn how to get up, it's not going to be long. You're going to give up. And when you give up, you won't be able to get back up. So now, then watch this. One more. This was the introduction. Actually, believe it or not, the rest of it was a shouting message. So just remember, we'll shout next week, okay? We'll shout next week. All right? There's the danger of falling short. Be strong and be of good courage for this people. You will divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. So the inheritance is the land that God had promised. But if he didn't get up, they weren't going to get it. Just think about this thing now. Think about it. He said, get up. If he had not given God up, I'm here to tell you one more time, they would have just stayed looking back. They would have stood still. He would have given up and fallen short of what God gave him. Let's go back to this verse. I love this verse. I remember one time when I was first in the ministry, and I won't go into it. Some of y'all have heard it, some of you haven't. I'm just going to say this. I got hit so hard, not physically, spiritually, and emotionally, and mentally. I almost, before I ever got started good, I almost threw in the towel and quit the ministry. It hurt so bad. We would ride down the road and Beverly would be driving. And I'd lay the seat back and I would just cry. Because I couldn't believe I was collateral damage for somebody else's problems. And it hurt so bad. And God gave me this verse. And said, son, I got this. I know you're overwhelmed. I know you're hurting. I know that you did not cause this pain. I know that it is collateral damage. I know that it's actually two people that are fighting in spiritual places that are higher than you, and you're a pawn. I understand all that. But you got to believe this. All this is a learning process for you, and I need you to learn what's going on. I need you to learn how to navigate through the pain. Because what I got for you is much bigger than this. So I need you to learn how to navigate through the pain so that you can help others. I didn't know I was going to be a counselor. I didn't know I was going to be training other ministers. I didn't know all this stuff was coming. He said, I need you to navigate through this pain. Learn how. So that you can help others when they need help. And that was my verse. Here's what he told Joshua, and we're going to close with this. DC, you can come get ready to play something softly. Joshua 1 and 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that was written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. You got to learn the word, and you got to lean on the word. Now, how do you learn the word and lean on the word? Here it is. He said, I want you to meditate. You know, when I first heard that meditate, here's what I thought you did. Look, don't laugh at me, okay? Please don't laugh. Here's what I thought it was. Well, God so loved the world. I'm meditating. Don't look like it, does it? I weren't meditating. Well, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Like it was going to go in my brain or something. I couldn't figure it out. I'd even sleep with my Bible under my pillow so I could meditate. Yeah. Show you just where I was at. Meditate means to speak under your breath. It means to talk to yourself. So now, when you talk to yourself, how do you do it? Well, first off, you take God's Word. And you find His word that actually has to do with the problem that you're going through. You take that word and that promise. You find the promise for your problem. Building Lives for the Kingdom last week, we gave away 6 God's promise books. And I said, when you're having a problem, you look in that promise book. And once you see that problem, you start claiming those promises that are below it, and you'll feel better. Are you giving yourself, what's your self-talk? Are you calling God's word and then leaning on it? The reverse of reverse meditation. Here's where a lot of people get. We don't meditate. We do a reverse meditation. What's the reverse meditation? Is when you worry. You just worry. Is God going to be able to do this? Am I going to be able to do it? Can I? Will I? Should I? Coulda, shoulda, woulda, coulda, shoulda, woulda, shoulda, coulda, woulda. That's reverse meditation. And that will deteriorate your faith. It takes the wind out of your sail. So not only is the situation taking the wind out of your sail, when you do reverse meditation, you're taking any chance that the sail will even blow again away. Because you're just worrying. Lean on the Word. Learn the Word. Lean on the Word. How do you do it? By speaking it. Out loud, under your breath. Speak the Word. Speak the Word. Speak the Word. Speak the Word. That's also how you get in God's pocket, too. It's one of the ways is speak the Word. You watch me at funerals and watch some of these tough things we've had to do. And you see me and you see my mouth moving. You know what I'm doing? It's meditation. I'm calling out God's promises and I'm standing on them. God's got this. God's got this. God's got this. Now next week's going to be different. Next week, I hope you bring your shouting shoes. But this week was the foundation for the shout next week. Yes, we're overwhelmed at times. Yes, what's going on in the world is overwhelming. Everybody stand. Please. You may be here today and something's overwhelmed you. You have to trust God in those overwhelming moments. Because if you don't trust God, what happens is if you don't speak God's promises to yourself, what happens is when you speak it, and that's what God says for us to speak it, if you speak it, then what it does is it comes out of your mouth, in your ears, and back in your heart. What does that do? It builds your faith. Out of your mouth, in your ears, back down into your heart. It just keeps building your faith. It's building. That's how your faith is built. Out of your mouth, in your ears, through your heart. Now, every head bowed, every eye closed. First thing I'm going to ask is if there's anybody here, and this is your chance to find some peace if you don't have it right now over situations. Nobody looking around. Everybody's got their head bowed down. If there's something in your life that's overwhelming you right now, took the wind out of your sail, it's hurt. It makes you want to stay down, not move forward, just quit. You're overwhelmed. Nobody looking around, every eye closed. Would you just put that hand up quickly and say, I'm overwhelmed. I am overwhelmed. Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, touch these hands. Touch these people. Lord, minister to them, help them to know, Lord, that your word will not fail. That your power will not fail. And although it looks like the enemy's got the upper hand, in the end, we always win. Always win. You said another promise that you can quote under your breath. Thank God who always gives us the victory. Always gives us the victory. Always gives us the victory. Maybe you're here right now, and because you're overwhelmed or of situations, or maybe you're overwhelmed because you haven't given God all of you. Right now, every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here and you need Jesus, have a better relationship with Him in order to handle this overwhelmed. If I'm speaking to you right now, nobody looking around, every eye closed, would you slip that hand up and say, I really need a stronger relationship with God. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Now, we're all going to pray together right now. Maybe you're here and you're not so overwhelmed, but your partner, your child, your parent, your co-worker is overwhelmed. And you want to know how to help them. We'll start with, pray for them. And then next, you tell them what you heard today, teach them to meditate. And teach them to keep moving forward, to get up and keep moving forward. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We trust you. You said, when our hearts, our mind, our will, our emotion is overwhelmed, when we've had the wind knocked out of our sail, you said that you would lead us, you would transform us to the rock that's higher than I, which is Jesus and His Word. Help us, God, to get up on that rock and meditate that Word. Speak the Word instead of the worry, and watch what you can do. Help us to draw close to you, and we give this day to you. In the name of Jesus we pray. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Now bring your shouting shoes next week. Just remember, we had to dig us a foundation. Because if you start shouting on the slack's foundation, you're going to fall. You got to have a good foundation. Everybody happy?